following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
The title of our message tonight as we get into it is Joy to the World. Everybody say it.
Joy to the World.
Now say it with some joy.
Joy to the World.
Now say it to my wife, Joy.
Joy to the World.
The Lord has come. That's it. That's it. That's the whole message. The Lord has come and what he came to do. Well, we're going to be studying that all through the years. We open up the Word of God and see what Jesus came to accomplish. He didn't just come to make a personal appearance. He came so you could make a personal appearance in heaven before God. And he's the only way to get there. Now, I have a gift for you tonight, but you have to wait till the end of the service to get it. How many of you were here this morning and you get it? Did you enjoy your extra time? I'm not going to say it's going to be time again, but it's just the special time that we're going to be spending together here in just a little bit. But I want to read some passages to you. I put them up on the screen, so you can turn to them in your Bible if you want to, but we might be moving through them and pass to the next ones before you even get to them. But the title of the message this evening is A Not So Silent Night. Have you read the story? It wasn't really a silent night. To begin with, a baby was born. Does that mean silent night? Let me see the hands of the mothers here who understand. That's when the noise begins, the wonderful noise. Let's not call it noise. It's the music of children. It's their song and their laughter. And I love it, and I miss it because they've all left me. But anyway, that's my pain, not yours, okay? But I want you to read along with me from Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. Let's read. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Keep reading. And wait. No, we're not there yet. We're not ready for that yet. Okay. Suddenly here's this appearance. And here's this multitude, not just one. You remember the story? The shepherds are out there in the field doing what shepherds do in the field, watching over their sheep. I explained it last night. Why were they out there? Because sheep don't tend themselves. They need protection. They need a sheep herder to get them together. So they're out there just doing what shepherds had done out there for centuries and centuries. And then one angel appears to them and tells them, "It's happened. Now it has begun. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who's Christ the Lord." And I love to play with that in the Josiah story that I tell every year, how they hear that the Messiah is going to be born, and every Jew, every Jewish man, woman, child would have known that story. But to think that it would have been that night, come on, it would have been hard for you to believe too. And so it's interesting how the angel says, "I'm going to show you a sign. This will be proof. You'll find this baby," which would mean they'd have to search. "You'll find him wrapped up in swaddling clothes, rags, and laying in a feeding trough." And then it said, and then suddenly there was, with that angel, a ton of angels. The sky was lit up with angels everywhere, all of them singing this song, singing, saying, preaching, proclaiming, whatever it was. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to men." So, Father, as we consider this part of this true story tonight, Lord, I pray that something would stir in each of us and that we would want to do what the angels did. We would want to do what the shepherds did. To give glory and to praise God as you came through on your promise and sent your Son into this world to be the Savior of the world. So we thank you, Father, tonight as we gather here together to joyfully remember that in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I told you this morning, shook some of you up a little bit when I told you. By the way, how many of you were not here this morning? All right, okay, well, let me shake you up a little bit too, okay? There's a bunch of you. How many of you love Hark the Herald Angels? And you heard it sung tonight, right? We sang it tonight. And how many of you noticed that the melody was a little bit different in places? And you might have even said, "Wait a minute, don't mess with that song. Don't change that song." How many of you like the original song, the original melody? Come on, let me see those hands. Well, you don't know the original melody. And neither do I know the original melody, because that is not the original melody. I looked it up this afternoon. That's 100 years older than the song that we sing. The melody that we all love to sing. The original melody, I can't remember who it was written by, but Charles Wesley, who wrote the words, said, make it sound serious. Slow it down. Make it sound almost dark. I don't know. I like the newer version, where there's a lot of light in it. But let me give you the words, a couple of the words, that the word changes in the original one. I guess we've made the changes. Hark how all the welkin rings. Doesn't that just touch your heart? The welkin. Anybody know what the welkin were? It's the clouds. It's the sky. It's the heavens above us. And he says this, hark how all the welkin ring, glory to the King of Kings. I love that inserted there. The King of Kings. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Listen to this. Joyful all you nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. Universal nature say, Christ the Lord is born today. That's pretty good. That's pretty good songwriting. And he says, come on, all of us, let's sing. And this is the scene that we just read that Charles Wesley had in mind when he wrote that beautiful Christmas hymn. And that's all it was called. It wasn't called Hark the Herald Angels. The original name of the song was Hymn for Christmas Day. So we should have waited till tomorrow, I guess, to sing it. But you've practiced it now. But it was with this in mind, this sky filled with angels that just captivated Charles Wesley's imagination. One, you know, lead up to Christmas, and he wrote another one of his beautiful songs. It was a sign in the heavens, the angels. By the way, 2 days ago, how many of you saw that sign in the heavens? Did you see that? Anybody see that? And did it make you say, what in the world is that? What were the options that you heard? Come on, what did you hear? Aliens, it was aliens. What else? Santa Claus, did you see the picture? It was Santa Claus. He was right behind. No, you know what it looked like to me when it kind of ballooned out? Did anybody else think it looked like Jonah inside the whale? Both of those little lights, God was with Jonah in the whale. It just looked like that to me, and it was marvelous. It was just an amazing thing. It was Elon Musk playing around with rockets and launching them out into the outer space, I guess you would say, or into the atmosphere. But if the Magi had been in California on Thursday night, the wise men, and saw that rocket in the western sky, they would have saddled up their camels again. But to read what actually happened, look to this next slide with me. In Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, let's read together if you like. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. And you know why they came to Jerusalem? Well, that's where King Herod is. So that must be where the newborn king is. They didn't keep following the star quite far enough. Now let's read. Here's what they said, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we've seen his star in the east. And we've come to high-five him? We've come to play around? No, we've come to worship him. I love that scene. Now, you go a little further into the chapter, keep reading. And when they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them until it came and stood over where not the baby, it's a young child. That's why we believe that Jesus was a toddler by this time. And then we go on. It says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with, read that again, exceedingly great joy. So in other words, what did they not say? Oh, that's cool. They didn't say, oh, yeah, you see that? That's nice. Hey, let me get a selfie with that. They rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. There's a phrase in Australia, OTT. Anybody know what OTT stands for? Over the top, mate. That means they just went exuberantly all out, exceedingly great joy. And when they came into the house, not the stall, but into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and they worshiped him. They did what they had come to do. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him. Read it with me. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And they worshiped him. Now, that comes from what they did is a fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 60, verse 6. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall proclaim the praises of the Lord. The multitude of camels shall cover your land, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephrah, all those from Sheba shall come, and they shall bring gold and incense. Okay, let's take a look at my kings, okay, my magi. Now, no, they probably didn't quite look like that. But here's a few versions of what the gold and the silver, or the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh was. Pringles had a line of snacks in those days. I don't know if you knew it, but they had a line of snacks. There's the gold Hershey's and the popcorn. Probably not. Some people think it was doTERRA oil. I don't know if doTERRA was around in those days, but it was this. It was treasures of gold, literally of gold, probably gold bars of some kind, or gold fashioned into some easy to carry form. And probably on the right is the frankincense, and the myrrh is there on the left. And here's what they all stand for, by the way. We'll do this quickly. Myrrh represents mortal death. You know, myrrh had medicinal effect in it. It was something that was believed to be able to cure ills or to stop suffering. Jesus had suffering in his future. The frankincense speaks of the holiness of Jesus. It was a material, it was a substance that the priest in the temple would use. And gold always was the metal of royalty. And they came not just to drop a few gifts on him, and to say, really great to see you. Let's see if we can get along between our nations. They came to do more than homage to them. Or as they say it these days, homage. I'm not sure where that comes from. Probably the French. But they came to bow down to him. They came to literally to worship him and to give him the honor that he deserves, like we're supposed to give him the honor that he deserves, because he did come to be king. He did come to be our priest, to intercede before God for us, and he did come to suffer for us. I want to read to you another one of the Advent postings that I put up, an Advent Adventure Devo. This one was up, I think it was yesterday, and I called it, Can I Get a Hallelujah? Some of you might have read it, but listen to this. Few people knew that he was coming, Jesus. The world was taken by surprise, though all Israel had waited and hoped and prayed for Messiah. But they never guessed that the big event would be staged in the heart of Bethlehem farmland. Yet there was a multitude tracking his progress month after month. Perhaps months passed more quickly from their perch high above our time-space continuum, speaking of the angels, the heavenly host. They were poised to party, ready to sing, to shout, or to proclaim glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And if angels smile, I think they probably do, but if angels smile, you know they're smiling big that Bethlehem night. And they had to tell someone, so they traumatized the shepherds to inform them that there, in Hebrew, their petatikva, their door of hope, had just arrived. They knew what Jesus was coming to do, the angels. The one thing I wonder is whether or not they'd been commanded to celebrate, or had they volunteered, unable to keep back their exuberant shouts of glory to God. I picture fist pumping, wing flapping, trumpet blasting praise from these angels. I don't see a stately choir, but more like a scene. Pardon my loyalties here, okay? But more like a scene in the stands of the Rose Bowl on a New Year's Day after the Ohio State Buckeyes win a championship. It's been a while, I know, it's been a while. But I picture people who aren't celebrating in order. They don't need to be doing anything weird, but they're just, everyone is celebrating at this victory. That's the scene, literally, that's the scene that I picture when I see the sky filled with angels. I don't even hear them. If they're singing, I don't know that they're singing in harmony or they're singing out a tune that they've rehearsed. They are all just cutting loose with exuberant, exceedingly great rejoicing because he has arrived. Perhaps it was somewhat reverent, but this was the beginning of a revolution. This was the first of many victory chants where they would say, well done, God. That's what glory to you, God. Well done. Their work was not done. 33 and a half years lie ahead, but Jesus was here now. The Messiah was on site, and that was worth a party. So, can I get a hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Me too. Christmas has a lot of words that typify the story. What are the words that you see that show up in the shop windows and in all kinds of advertisements? What are they? My wife's name shows up everywhere this time of year. Joy is everywhere. What other words? Peace. And rejoice shows up. What other words? Do you see any other big Christmas words? Hope pops up all over the place. This celebration. Christmas is about peace. And the lack of fear, we talked about that this morning. Fear not now. You do not have to live with fear any longer. You can look to Jesus and let him cast away your fear. Let him kill the fear, because that's part of what he does. He's a fear killer. And the music is all over the place. When you read through, especially the book of Luke and the early chapters of Matthew, and you hear these precious people responding to what's happened, notice in your Bible it's laid out like verse. And that's because it's believed in the early church that those words had been put into song for them to remember. Mary's, what do we call it? Magnificat. Her beautiful song of praise to God. And Elizabeth's beautiful song of praise to God. I think a church is supposed to typify the peace and the lack of fear and the joyful music and the light. Light is a huge part, isn't it? Of Christmas. How many of you, come on, be honest, how many of you put some lights up? Anybody, let me see the hands of the lighters, okay? How many of you struggled even for a moment with your lights? Did anybody but me struggle with the lights? Did you say anything that you can't repeat in church that you said to this tangle that we're not doing these kind again next year? Najoy and I love the look of the icicle lights. But do you know how hard it is to store those and then get them out again next year and untangle them again next year? They were sent by the devil to torment all of us, I'm sure. There's a better way. I think there's a better way to light a house. But a church is supposed to be a place where light is seen and where joy is heard. This year, my lights spoke to me. And I want to show you what they said to me. This will take me just a second. You could talk among yourselves or just grumble, if you like, about how hard it was for you to get all those lights up. Did anybody get lights up and you went out and bought brand new lights and said, okay, that's going to fix this, and then you plugged them in and for a day and a half they worked and then they died on you? I know they come from the devil. Okay. Here you go. All right. How many of you have these kind of lights? Hey, Jack, can I get your help up here? Taylor, can you give me a hand up here too? Jack, could you grab that end of that light and just walk over towards the piano? Taylor, could you stick your fingers in the socket? No, I'm just kidding. No. Here, hold that. No, just hold that right there, right by this string right here. How many of you have lights that look as lovely as that, right? Can I tell you something? This is what the church is supposed to be. All we are is a big strand of lights that are all supposed to be doing... What happened to this one? I didn't mess with that, but you know what? Sometimes this happens in church too, doesn't it? Sometimes people's lights go out. Some of us struggle with light. And, well, I don't know what we're going to do with this one. What do you think? Later, okay? We'll deal with it later. Let me show you this one now. Okay, here we go. Are you having fun? It's the mystery of the lights. There, Jack, hold that one up. It's the mystery of the lights. Can you guys stand there for about 20 minutes, please? We got them up on the house, and they were looking so beautiful. And then we came home 2 hours later, and on the same strand, look at this. This strand is working, and way down here it's not, because somehow the lights went out. You guys can put those down. Just bundle them up all right there, Jack. They look better when they're all bundled together. Perfect. I didn't even ask him to do that. That's what I wanted him to do. A bright boy, a smart boy. Thank you, Taylor and Jack. But can I tell you something? When we get together and we bundle ourselves up together, isn't it interesting how some of the lights that aren't working, we kind of spill over on each other, don't we? And we'll get to the ones that don't work. But there's something that happens when the church gathers together to truly be the church and shine his light to the world and to one another. Where those things that in some of us that need some adjustment, well, those light, I don't know what happened there. I'm not a lightologist. I don't know what to do with this. But when we work together for his glory, it's beautiful to see things that begin to work. I saw the light this Christmas season on the east side of my house, and it just spoke to me about us, how important it is for us to keep the light shining. There's things that make our light dim, aren't there? You know what they are? We talked about it this morning. It's the fears that take over, and the fears that make us make the wrong decisions and move in the wrong direction, and sometimes make us just maybe give up. Maybe I'm not cut out for this. I told you the story about the time when I felt like I'm just not cut out to be a Christian. And I tried to run from God that afternoon. And he sent an old, old, old man that spoke into my heart that day. And he said to me, young man, and I didn't know him, never seen him before. He said, young man, did you know that Jesus loves you? It could have been an angel dressed like an old, old, old man. I don't know. But it was the message I needed that day. My light was dim, if it was even burning at all, if anybody would have even known that I was a follower of Jesus. Jesus came to turn the light on in our hearts. Christmas is full of light, and at Christmas, like the title of the message tonight, it is full of music and celebration and rejoicing. It was a not so silent night. You know why the angels sang over the shepherds in the field? Why weren't they singing over the manger? Why weren't they shouting and proclaiming over the manger? It's a baby. Let him sleep. Don't wake him up, angels. But they had to tell somebody. I believe this with all my heart. They had to tell someone. And so they kind of flap up above the manger there, and they're looking around Bethlehem, and they say, look at that campfire right over there. Hey, let's flap over there. And they fly on over there, and they see these guys just hanging around their campfire, and the spokesman begins, and he says, don't be afraid, boys. I've got good news for you. And then as he explains it, all the angels come out from behind whatever their cloaking device is. They've got it. You know, you can't always see them, but they became visible, and they spoke with such celebration over those shepherds that night, and they began to make some noise, didn't they? With exceedingly great, great joy and praise. And then they sent the shepherds off, and they did the exact same thing. Maybe they just went to round up some more praisers. They were praising, and we've got to get this going. Somebody has got to know. So the Magi, they're going to come, and they're going to praise him. The kings, if you want to call them, the Magi, they made some noise. So I want tonight, before we make some light in here with our candles, I think it would be appropriate if we made some noise. You ready to make some noise? Yeah. I found this the other day. Who said yeah? You really ready to make some noise, huh? Okay, here's the deal. If you want to make some noise, I'm going to have you in just a second. Don't come right now. I'm going to have, we'll do this for a few minutes. We want to get you out of here on time. But we're going to have a few kids come up, and they have to say something, not that they want for Christmas. That's not what we want to talk about. But something about Jesus that you are very, very thankful for. You have to be able to come up and tell me something about Jesus that you're really, really thankful for. I don't care what age kid it is, by the way. And you get to come up, and you get to choose a noisemaker. Is this not appropriately labeled? You ready? Look at the name on this box. Yeah, for those of you that can't read, I'm not saying you can't read. For those of you who can't read it, it's Bill's Miscellaneous Instruments. I don't know who labeled it like this. I didn't. But it's been in the back of our hallway for a while. I don't know where I got this. But it says USA, and it makes a lot of noise. And kids have got to be able to tell me something they're happy for. This one is sort of a, that's not enough noise. Anybody see? What is it? What is it? What movie? What? No. Karate Kid. How about this one? That looks harmless, doesn't it? We got a wandering shepherd girl here. Somebody wants to gather her. Okay. And of course, there's never quite enough cowbell. Okay, so I want to hear from a kid who can tell me something that they're thankful for about Jesus. Come on up, Taylor. Come on up, Jack. Come on up, Noah. Starting with my grandkids, I don't know. Okay. Well, which one do you want to make noise with? They got to be able to tell me something. Okay. We'll see how far we go. What do you want to say? What are you thankful for about Jesus?
That he died on the cross.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, I got to turn the mic on. It doesn't work. Okay.
That he died on the cross for our
sins. Anybody thankful about that? Make some noise. Pick something. Make some noise. What are you thankful about, Jack?
That he made us.
That he made you. Anybody thankful for that? Noah, what are you thankful about?
That he healed lepers.
That he healed lepers. What's a leper?
They're really sick people.
Yeah. Anybody thankful about that? He heals. What are you thankful for?
I'm thankful for everybody who helps me and everybody else.
Okay, that's worth some noise. What about you? What are you thankful for?
I'm thankful for my toys.
Your toys? Well, I kind of knew we'd get there. Didn't you know we'd get there? Okay, what are you thankful for?
I'm thankful for Jesus that is in our heart.
Amen. And you?
I'm thankful for Jesus died on the cross.
Amen. And what are you thankful for?
That Jesus always guides me down the right path.
Whoa, yes.
I'm thankful for that Jesus forgives.
That he forgives. Anybody thankful that Jesus forgives? What are you thankful for?
Mom and Dad.
I'm thankful that God gave his one son to come die for us.
Yes, his promise. He's coming, yep.
Oh, I'm thankful for family.
Family and?
I'm thankful for my family, too.
Family and? What are you thankful for?
Christmas Eve.
Okay, yeah, me too. What are you thankful for?
My family.
Family. What are you thankful for that Jesus did for you?
That he gave me them.
Yeah, good answer.
I'm thankful for Jesus being born.
Amen. Does that make sense? Are there not enough noisemakers to go around? Okay, here, you know what? Who's a good cowbell player? Can you play the cowbell?
I play a
bunch. You want to play this?
It's not
too loud. Here. Here you go. No, take that. And let's stand up and make some noise. Here. This one just goes back and forth. Okay, would you guys stand up with these guys? And let's make some noise because why? We're thankful that Jesus did what? Now, on the count of three, I want you to say what you told me again one more time. One, two, three. Real loud. Woo! Now let's make some noise and give some praise to Jesus. And now give me a high five all the way down. Five all the way down. Let's hear it for these praisers. Amen. Now, I'll have you sit down and you guys are done, okay? You guys are done. Good noisemakers. Drop it right back in there on your way down. I knew that was dangerous, but it sure was worth it. It was sure worth it. I hope you don't think that I've been, thank you. He put away his toys. Well done. Thank you, buddy. I hope you don't think I'm being trite with this. I really do believe that the scene, if you could have seen those angels hovering over the Bethlehem field there, I think you would have heard something that would have woken up Jerusalem about 7 miles away. You would have heard something that was exuberant praise. Do you remember the other time that people were praising Jesus and some of the religious leaders said, oh, can't you stop them? They were what? They were children who were singing out what? Hosanna. They were in the streets singing out Hosanna, dancing around Jesus, and the religious leader said, can you please shut those kids up? And Jesus said, no, let me tell you what you just heard. And can I tell you what you just heard? Perfect praise. Jesus said, that's perfect praise. When kids, out of the simplicity of their heart, will say, I am thankful that Jesus came for me. And I am thankful. And they'll bang on a cowbell for, oh, I know it's not as dignified as you were raised to believe. But I believe in the heart of God, when we turn our hearts, our voices towards Him, I think it does something. I think it lights us up too. And what we're going to do is we're going to quiet it down a little bit. And Starlin and I and a couple other guys here are going to share a song with you that's going to prepare us for our candle lighting here in just a couple of minutes. And we're not going to keep you long, but Starlin, would you come on up? It's a song that I shared with you guys, I think a few weeks ago when we started the series through the Advent season here. To explain it, just takes a second to do this, but to explain where this song came from, I was driving down from Sacramento, listening to some Christmas music about two or three years ago in December, late December. I'd been up there to do The Shepherd, and on the way down, listening to music, and just thought, I looked down the road and all I saw was headlights. I knew I probably should have stayed up there for the night, but I wanted to get home. And so I'm coming home, and that's where the beginning of the song comes from, and it goes quickly to Joseph. So it's kind of from Joseph's point of view. And this is Tim right here playing guitar with me, and Jeremy right behind me playing bass, and Joseph. I like the way in this song Joseph doesn't start playing the drums until I actually say his name. He just decided, until you say my name, I'm not going to play. No, I'm kidding. Listen. Endless line of headlights on Interstate 5. 300 miles before me on my midnight drive. And I can't help but think about those travelers long ago. Made their way from Nazareth to Bethlehem of old. Oh, Joseph, rise up from your dream. Oh, Joseph, this is more than what it seems. I wonder if this humble man had doubts along the way. And maybe Mary's father had a word or two to say. When she heard his daughter's story, did he struggle to believe? And you know it had to break his heart the day he saw her leave. Oh, Joseph, hold her close to your heart. Oh, Joseph, this is only the start. And the road was choked with the refugees, the weary and the worn. And the world was all in shambles in the year that he was born. And peace was just a memory, and hope it all but died. But the baby broke the darkness, oh, the moment that he cried. Oh, Joseph, hold him close to your side. Oh, Joseph, hold him gently when he cries. Oh, Joseph, there is mystery in the air. Everywhere. Sing with us. You've sung it once tonight. Let's sing again. Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains and the mountains.
mountains in reply, the echoing their joyous strain. Down from above, and his son begins his journey in this world that he so loves. To bear our sin and sorrow, and to lift our heavy load, and to travel every mile with us on a midnight road. He is with us all the way. Oh, let's lift our hearts in praise.
Sing like the angels now. Gloria. In praise, oh, there are angels everywhere. Oh, there's still mystery in the air. Listen carefully. He came to bear our sins and sorrows, and to lift our heavy load, and to travel every mile with us on our midnight road.
And it's time, now that you've made some noise, it's time to light some light. Now, what we mean, what we do when we light candles, is to really bear witness. It is as if you're saying, Jesus, I want to be light for you too. So as we're lighting the candles and you're hearing this music, kind of put yourself in that mode where you're ready to lift some praise to Jesus and to shed some light when we leave this place to let this world know. Go ahead. Isn't the love of God incredible? Raise your candle high if you would say, I can't believe how perfectly God has loved me. How much he's forgiven. The kids gave us a script. It was a better script than mine tonight. Mm-hmm. Thankful that he came. Thankful that he forgave me. Thankful that he gave me all that he's given me. And tonight, as we're going to blow these candles out just so you don't drip as you go. But as we go into this world, I want you to remember when you see the lights hanging on the side of all those houses on the way home, different colors, different lengths, all of that stuff. When you see the pile, the bundle of lights right here, some lit, some not. Let's have godly impact on one another. Let's make some, the world is full enough of noise, isn't it? Let's fill it with praise to God. The world's full enough of darkness, isn't it? Let's shed some light into this world in what we say and what we do, how we live our lives, how we pray for one another. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to say again to you this Christmas Eve, Thank you. Thank you for the gift of your Son, who washed away our sins and opened the doors of heaven. Thank you for making it so simple, Lord, that you did not call us to join your organization. You called us into your family through your Son, Jesus. And thank you, Father, for this celebration tonight of the gift of your Son. We're grateful people, Lord. Thank you for your grace that saves us in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Hang on. We're going to blow them out together. And on the count of three, the only thing left are going to be light sticks. Okay, ready? One, two, three. That's what it would be like without light in the world. So let's be his light. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Christmas, grace, and peace, and joy upon you in the strong name of Jesus. Let's keep celebrating the grace of God, the gift of Jesus. Have a wonderful Christmas. May it be so filled with his love. God bless you.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.